Welcome back to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Jazz.
Might just be the funnest time of the NBA offseason. I think it is. We just wrapped up the draft last week, and now we're preparing for free agency. And we have trades to get into. A couple of shockers last week with Chris Paul on his way to the Golden State Warriors. Also, Marcus Smart on his way to Memphis. Kristaps Porzingis going now to Boston. And today, the Jazz make a trade that I absolutely love. They land John Collins for next to nothing. Rudy Gay and some belly button lint. We'll talk about that and more right now. Joining us over the phone, we have James Holis, half of the Dunk Tales pod. James, great to get you back on. Fun to talk about some of these trades that have gone down. I know it's typically abstract conversation, but there's actual substance right now.
Yeah, man. I know a lot of stuff's going on in the NBA. This is why the NBA is better than any other league, but I'm still mourning the loss of my starting point guard, Marcus Smart. I'm not over it yet, so.
Great place to start. And the Celtics, basically it was the medicals of Malcolm Brogdon that really scared off the Clippers. I was stunned when I saw that Marcus Smart was on his way out. I like the landing spot for Marcus Smart. And look, I know you're sad about losing Marcus, and don't get me wrong, I think it's going to be a big loss for the Celtics, but the idea that you add Porzingis and a couple of first-rounders, it could be a lot worse.
I mean, you can say that. I'm not saying that as a Celtics fan. It couldn't be worse. We love Marcus, man. Marcus, for 9 years, was basically the guts of the team. He wasn't scared to speak out when he should. He was obviously not the most talented guy, and he had his flaws, but he worked hard, and he always meant well. So we hate to see him go. You know what? I get it if you're doing a trade for maybe somebody else. Porzingis, to me, like, Boston has an issue with toughness. We got punched in the mouth by the Miami Heat over and over again until we broke. And they have a problem with toughness and execution, and Porzingis is not known for being tough. I'm not a big fan of the trade. I get it on paper, but basketball's not played on paper, right? The locker room really matters. From Tatum's comments afterwards, from what I understand, I heard a report that Tatum and Brown were not spoken to about the trade before it happened, you know, which is that's something we know in the NBA. They kind of either run things by their stars, even if just a formality, and that didn't happen. So that's not the best. And so, yes, Boston is getting to a point right in their journey where they're on the third act. So something has to happen in the next year or two. They have to win one, or things probably will look very, very different in the next two or three years. So, yeah, it happens. It's natural evolution, but it's not fun.
I think what you just said really summarizes the issue with the trade, right? You talk about Boston not being tough enough, and you give up the one guy that does bring a little spunk. Look, if you're a Memphis Grizzly fan, this is why you have to be happy about it. This is not a guy that's just a fake tough guy. This is not Dylan Brooks. This is a guy that will bring it on both sides of the ball from a mental toughness standpoint, from a leadership role. Memphis gets drastically better with this deal.
Yes, this is a great deal for them. They've upgraded their, what's the kid's name? The big mouthy kid that went to LeBron?
Dylan Brooks, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a huge upgrade over Dylan Brooks. While John Morant is getting himself together, he's going to be out for some time. We don't know how much time yet. They say 25 games, but they might appeal. But no matter what, you have a capable starting point guard to take over, and he's fine playing off of, you know, high-usage guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But Smart has proven he can just kind of fill in the gaps, and he's happy taking 5-6 shots, and if he needs to, he'll take that big three when you need him to. So he's fearless. He can guard 1 through most 5s. Great fit for Memphis. He's like, you know, he's grit and grind to the bone. If he wasn't a Celtic, that's the next thing I would think of is a Memphis Grizzly. So great trade for them.
Let's move on and talk about the Warrior-Wizards deal. Chris Paul on his way to Golden State. Jordan Poole just gone. I don't think it really mattered what Golden State was going to get in return from Jordan Poole. Seemed like it was going to be an addition by subtraction. Everything that went on. Steve Kerr was taking subliminal shots at Jordan Poole during the postseason. He did it against Sacramento. He did it against Los Angeles. It just wasn't a fit. I am surprised they net Chris Paul for Jordan Poole, but nonetheless, they had to get rid of him.
And this is what's going to be so interesting about the Warriors. You can only have so many missed opportunities before it all catches up to you. They missed on what's wrong? I just came back from a trip from Vancouver. Forgive me. The center they drafted so high. What's his name?
Wiseman. Yeah, Wiseman.
Yeah, Yeah, so they missed on Wiseman, a big, and they just basically punted him to get back Gary Payton, that who they didn't want to pay. They ended up paying him anyway. They missed on, you know, I don't think they've missed on Kuminga, but he certainly hasn't hit. They did hit on Wiggins, so that's a good thing. But, yeah, this is another – they gave a guy a huge contract, and then they had to basically ship him off. They got lucky, very serendipitous, to get Chris Paul, because Chris Paul will be useful to them. That's not an ideal piece, and he's not a piece for the future. So they're really painting themselves into a corner as far as salary and talent-wise, and they're all hinging on guys who are all now a year older. We saw Clay, even now, 2 years removed from that injury, is still showing signs that he'll never probably be the same guy again. They're really they're in their third act, too. That's a nice little parallel with the Celtics where, sure, Boston's on their level, but they're definitely at a stage where, you know, things will look much different in a couple years for the Warriors one way or another.
You know, I didn't hate this deal, and I think it kind of piggybacks off of everything that you were just talking about a moment ago. It's easy to forget that Steph Curry is 35 years old. It's very easy to forget. And, James, when we go back and we look at some of the great players in the history of the NBA, when we started seeing a downfall in their career, or downward spiral, rather, in their career, and we started seeing their teams come up short, you know, you look at guys like Kobe. Last time Kobe played in a relevant NBA playoffs, he was swept. You look at Dirk Nowitzki. The last time we saw Dirk Nowitzki in a meaningful NBA playoff series, didn't end well, right? We're all talking about guys that are on the backside of 35, you know, through their mid-30s. I'm not saying that Steph Curry's hit this wall. I'm not saying that's where it's heading. But the fact of the matter is, he's peaked at this point in time, right? And so if you're going to try to supplement complementary pieces around him, go ahead and let him be aging pieces, because Golden State window, it's 2 years max right now with the current setup, especially when you look at Steph being 35 years old and a guard, a 6'2" guard, right, that takes a beating, that has had injury problems. You look at Klay Thompson, same conversation. So if you want to go all in, go all in. That was my take on it.
And I agree with you, but I'm going to have a little differing point of view, because my thing is, I think Steph Curry's going to age very well. Steph Curry, he could still be a 20-point-per-game guy at 40, you know, and obviously not the best player on the team, but still the second or third best offensive player on the team, because his game is not predicated on explosive athleticism, not predicated on strength. It's his shooting and his conditioning. And we think, you know, I think those things will age pretty well. And somebody tweeted this the other day, and it kind of made sense. They're like, well, if the Warriors really had any kind of daring to their front office, they would have traded Klay and Draymond and got younger around Steph, and actually took a couple years to completely rejigger around him and say, okay, you're our centerpiece, but we're going to get in younger guys, high-level guys who can support you, and now you take a lesser role, and we're going to still try to contend. And that makes a lot of sense. But now they're going to pay Draymond. I'm hearing upwards of, I thought it'd be a lower contract for a longer year, but I'm hearing maybe 25, 30 million a year for Draymond. Klay's going to want his money. This is going to be tough, man. And we've seen, like, they lost to the Lakers, who got swept by the Nuggets. So they're not quite as close as they think they are, I think. So, yeah, this will be interesting.
Is it funny to you that there were obvious tensions, you know, within that locker room? Draymond and Jordan Poole, we don't have to rehash that. We had you on when that happened. We don't have to go rehash that. But the fact that Draymond and CP3, I mean, it's pretty out there in the open, they don't get along. I mean, is this going to bring cohesion to the locker room? You would think. I mean, look, if Chris Paul wants to win a championship, this is it for him. This is going to be his last chance. There's no doubt.
It has to be one of his last few gas chances, right? And that's a big thing from the Warriors fan base, is vibes, right? When Steph is cooking and they're all strutting and snarling, the good vibes around the team. Well, last year was all bad vibes. And we're not going to revisit it, but it is, you know, it's funny how sometimes our eye test is absolutely 100% right. When we said, a lot of people said, me and you, this team will nowhere be, this is way too much to overcome. This is a big deal. Oh, we got through it. Draymond the leader. We're fine. We're good. We knew they weren't fine. They didn't feel fine. They didn't look fine on the court. And it's all about, you know, we all try to be body language experts, but we saw it. And it's absolutely true, right? Because they give the guy a giant contract, and then a year later they're shipping him off for an expiring, basically. So, yeah, this will be very interesting to see. Can they right the ship? I think Draymond's a little less impactful than people let on, you know, from the last couple years. Isn't he 32, 33?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, like, this will be really fascinating. And while they did a good job adding a guy like Chris Paul who will help, I don't think he is the answer. I think they need a little more size on the perimeter and someone probably to back up Looney a little more. So this will be interesting.
Again, James Hole is our guest right now as we talk NBA basketball. James, we'll talk about the Utah Jazz. Love the deal today. They construct a trade with the Atlanta Hawks. Looks like the final pieces, Rudy Gay and a future second-round pick to Atlanta. The Jazz, in return, get John Collins. They put together a pretty entertaining team. I know this is nothing more than a salary dump for Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. It's $78.5 million coming off of the books. But salary cap be damned. Cap numbers, it doesn't necessarily matter in this particular ordeal. The Jazz have cap space, and they get Collins for next to nothing.
And you know what? It's an absolutely great pickup for Utah. Danny Ainge has been working his magic. One thing he can do is acquire some talent and shuffle around some draft picks. And yeah, I think he's a great fit there. They're big but athletic in the front court now, right? Now you got Kessler, you got John Collins, and you got big Laurie M. So that's impressive. But then these guys aren't stiff. They're athletic. They can shoot. They all can move without the ball. This is a home run for the Utah Jazz.
When you look at a Markkanen, Kessler, Collins front court rotation, I don't want to stack it up against other teams throughout the league, but I mean, if we're just talking about this off the top of our head, that three-man group I just mentioned right there, it's fun, exciting, it's young, it's athletic.
And it's a lot cheaper than the three that they just got in Minnesota. They just went and picked they paid, an extra, I think almost $45 million for their backup center in Minnesota. And so now they're paying $90 million for three centers in Timberwolf country. And, yeah, the Jazz, they got these young guys, athletic, interchangeable. You can keep two of the three on the court at any time. Obviously defense is going to be the question with Markkanen and John Collins. John Collins he's shown flashes, but he's not really a strong defender. But the future is so bright for Utah. Last year was all house money. And they made the pivot kind of late, and also they kind of ran out of gas. We saw who they really were kind of. But that's not a problem. This is all by design. So, yeah, good on the Jazz.
The Atlanta Hawks, trying to make a baseball reference here since we are in the middle of summer, they somewhat remind me of the Colorado Rockies. Okay, now hold on that thought for a moment. Rocky fans always go back to 2008 when they made a run to the World Series, and they hang their hats on that, right? If we look at the Atlanta Hawks, outside of one kind of Cinderella run to the Eastern Conference Championship, this team has been horribly managed. They continue to whiff time and time again, and it seems like they're always one or two players away. We talk about them in the offseason, but we talk more about them come trade deadline because typically they are sellers. James, we talk about the Washington Wizards and how bad things have been within the front office. Things have not been much better in Atlanta. They've just had a couple of seasons where they've been marginally relevant come postseason time. And so maybe we overlook the fact that this is a franchise that has not been ran correctly.
You know what? When we all look back and it's all said and done, we're going to look back and blame Steph Curry for the Atlanta Hawks for the simple fact that he fooled them into believing that a knockoff of him would be good enough to lead their team to the promised land, and we're seeing the uncanny valley. Trae Young has, you squint, you see a lot of Steph Curry, the deep shots, the audacity, but he skipped the steps, and he is not that kind of player. It seems like he might have issues with coaches, and other than that one magical deep run they kind of had, between the management and then the Trae Young corollary, I understand why they're going to keep him. He's going to put butts in seats, and I know Atlanta fans love him. And this is about entertainment. He's an entertaining young player. But how much of a contender are they going to be as currently constituted? Not very much until they have some seismic kind of changes.
James, let's shift over to free agency because that's the next big day on the NBA calendar. We can assume Draymond Green is going back to Golden State. So at that point, who becomes the next biggest free agent in this class? Is it Fred VanVleet? Is it James Harden? I mean, I would assume Harden's going to stay put in Philly as well. I mean, it's got to be Van Fleet or Irving, right? Like, those are the two most interesting storylines regarding free agency.
Probably Van Fleet, right? He's another undersized guard, and people were clamoring, oh, you probably live in Boston. No, thank you. Not because he's a bad player. He's a lot of fun. He's gritty. He's tough. He's just undersized. And, I think we saw the last couple of years, some of the sheen came off because of that feel-good run he had there with the Raptors. They won that championship, but once they removed the superstar, we saw that they were just kind of an average to slightly above-average team. And it's tough paying him all that money to be like a lesser Isaiah Thomas that was in Boston. I don't know. But some team's going to want him. He's a quality player. He's going to make some team better. Can he be Jalen Brunson? That's what some team hopes. But, you know, I think right now I'd say Jalen Brunson is a better player than he is. So it's good for him. And with the new CBA, he has to get his money now while he can.
Okay, we'll end with this. I'm going to throw three names at you. Who becomes the overpaid player out of these three in this class? So we have Bruce Brown, who we saw an astronomical rise in his stock just based off of Denver's playoff run. We have Cam Johnson, and there's a report out there that he could get somewhere in a four-year, $84 million range. And then I think you also have Austin Reeves, who I think could really, really cash in. I don't know what his contract looks like right now, if it's $80 million or more, but when you look at those three, who do we look back on at this time next season and say buyer's remorse? Do any of those three even fit that category for you?
I'm going to say none really fit the full buyer's remorse thing because I think they're all quality players at their core, and they all have a high enough floor where they'd be playable anywhere. So they're not going to just go anywhere and just tank. I think maybe if you try to overpay Austin Reeves and give him too much responsibility, you're going to be a little disappointed. Same with Cam Johnson. I think with Bruce, we all kind of know Bruce is a high-level role player, so he's the safest bet. I guess maybe Austin. We've seen him kind of just do stuff. If I had to put my money down, though, I'm going to just say I guess Austin Reeves. I think the hype around him after his breakout playoff series is probably a little higher than all the other guys. So he might get overpaid the most, and even though he'd still be a decent player, that would be the most, oh, wow, we just paid X amount for this guy, and this is what we got.
Can you think of someone not on that list I gave you?
No, and this is I'm in a funk because of Marcus Smart. My mind is not really in free agency mode. Maybe if you could think of anybody else, toss it out my way, but I can't really think of anyone else. Like, hey, look, I'm gonna tell you now, that Beal deal, he's not a free agent, but that is just horrendous money for a high volume, kind of mediocre efficiency guy who does nothing else but kind of score buckets and doesn't defend. That's gonna be weird to see.
I agree. He is James Solis. He's kind enough to join us each week. James, I know we have some more free agency talk to get into here over the next few weeks. It is great to get you back on. Do you guys have a Dunk Tales pod coming out for free agency? I know you've been busy, but do you have one in the works?
I'm not going to lie. Don't try to give me an excuse. We haven't been busy. We've been lazy. And yes, we're going to try to record here soon and try to get back onto our weekly schedule. Yes, sir.
Now, I'm looking forward to it. In the meantime, we'll keep bringing you back on Mondays here to talk NBA offseason. I love it. I appreciate the time.
Can I ask you a quick question?
You got it.
What do you see happening with Dame?
Oh, we didn't get into the Dame talk. At this point, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I really don't care. I just want a resolution. He doesn't fit the mold in Portland at this point in time. It simply doesn't fit the direction that the franchise is moving. Although, you and I had a talk about a week ago, and we talked about Brandon Miller or Scoot. And the fact that they went against what we were, the fact that they bring in Scoop because he's sitting there at number three means you have major roster redundancy, right? Like you have to look at this.
You do, man. And so, similar to Marcus Smart, obviously Dame's on a whole different level. But sometimes I guess the players kind of run this course, and you got to be able to mutually say, all right, this was fun, and let's go about our business. So
I compare it, James. I compare this to the Russell Westbrook, Oklahoma City, you know, I don't want to, departure, I guess, you know, divorce. Everyone respected the hell out of it, right? We watched Oklahoma City lose player after player after player, and they had this exciting young core, and it was KD, and then it was, you know, it was Harden, then it was KD, and it was Ibaka. Like, they were losing all these pieces, and Westbrook was the one man that they tried to build around. They bring in Paul George, they bring in Carmelo, and it just got to a point where it's like, hey, this isn't going to work. Nobody faulted either side. I think everybody respected the loyalty between the two sides. I compare it to that situation. I think we're there.
Very much so. Whereas no harm done, no bad blood. We can shake hands and go by our separate ways.
I don't know that he plays another game in a Portland Trailblazer uniform. I wouldn't be surprised if he's dealt this offseason, would you?
I would not be at all, and I would respect him for it. It sucks that all the trolls would come out and screenshot all his tweets about loyalty, but, you know, the best thing he may be able to do for his team is just go separate ways.
Great conversation as always, James. I appreciate the time. We'll do it again next week.
Always, my man. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
We're going to break one more time. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports right after this.